Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 51 of the Missing Pillar of Health podcast. If you're new to me, or maybe you've been listening for a while, but you don't know my story, hello. I am Emma Roman, an environmental engineer with over 15 years' experience in green building project management. This podcast is one of the resources I provide to help others like curious, analytical, and fact-based untangle the often confusing and overwhelming landscape of women's and children's health as it relates to toxins, also known as environmental health. The truth is, I never set out to be an environmental health and toxics educator. My mission wasn't to shout from the rooftops how important addressing toxins is. I started my personal journey to better understand the choices I was making for my newborn and toddler. That was almost 7 years ago now. When this private journey grew into a public one, it was honestly out of frustration. I grew a little bit angry that nobody taught me the role toxins play in our children's long-term health before I got pregnant. I was overwhelmed trying to figure it all out by myself, and I became increasingly concerned about the repercussions, both for humans and the planet, if we didn't get a grip on toxic chemicals in our everyday lives. So I decided to do something about it, and I wanted to help give others the knowledge that took me years to gain so that they didn't have to go through the same frustration. In this episode, I want to share the biggest lessons I learned through my own research and from working with hundreds of women who may be a little bit like you, struggling to figure out the why, what, and how of creating a healthier home environment to support your health and your families. My goal is to give you the foundation that most people miss when they're starting to create a healthy home. Or maybe you've been at it for a while, but you're starting to struggle. You see, not having a solid foundation is what makes it seem too hard, expensive, and overwhelming. I see my job as an educator, coach, and cheerleader to help cut through all of the BS out there and help end the cycle of overwhelm and confusion and anxiety that I see so many people struggling with when it comes to reducing toxins in their home. And I've dealt with this too. So if you're motivated to reduce toxins in a way that supports your family's health without sacrificing your mental health, this episode is for you. Welcome to the Missing Pillar of Health podcast, the show that tackles the often misunderstood and underestimated topics related to toxins and their impact on our health and well-being. I'm your host, environmental engineer, mom of two, and founder of Green at Home, Emma Roman. My mission is to help you reduce toxins in your life without fear, judgment, or shame, so you can be more informed and empowered to take action on issues that matter to your health. The research is clear that toxic chemicals found in the products we use, food we eat, water we drink, and air we breathe are contributing to the rise of chronic illness, allergies, infertility, autoimmune disease, and more. The good news is you can reduce your exposure without having to drastically change your lifestyle, and I'm here to show you how. As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. I believe addressing toxins is a critical step towards creating healthier and happier families, communities, and ultimately a better planet. And that starts right here, right now. Let's dive into today's show. Now, everyone's own motivations for addressing toxins are slightly different. For me, I struggled with terrible menstrual cycles through my teen years. I was diagnosed with asthma in my 20s and suffered from seasonal allergies since I was a child. I also had a blood disorder when I was 11 that ended up being treated with a synthetic hormone. The more I started to learn about hormones and hormone disruptors, the more I wanted to do what I could to help my children, hopefully avoid some of the issues that I dealt with. And even though I know I cannot guarantee that my kids will be 100% healthy and I can't prevent everything, I wanted to know that should something happen, I did the best I could. Or at the very least, that I'd already have addressed toxins in a fairly substantial way so that it would be one less thing to worry about should we need to make more drastic changes to address an illness down the line. Like me, I find motivation often comes from personal experiences the more I speak to other people about why they're looking at toxins. But not always. Some common reasons people I work with want to prioritize toxins are they're healing from a diagnosis, struggling to manage symptoms, worrying about their children's future, and simply some people are just ready to be part of the environmental and social justice solution. Also like me, many people struggle with a few things that can make progress towards a healthy home challenging. Maybe these resonate with you too. I've gone through them all, I know. And the common ones are that it takes way too long to make decisions about switching to a new brand or product. Maybe you're sick of spending hours upon hours researching without finding answers or not really knowing if the answers you do find are trustworthy. Perhaps you're focused on switching products as they run out and it starts to feel like it's going to take years and you don't really know if what you're doing is really making a difference. And what I've noticed in many of my conversations is that so many people have a general desire to be more natural and non-toxic, but don't have a strong understanding of why or really to what end. This is where I got stuck personally. So if any of these resonate, I'm going to give you the missing piece that I've discovered is really the pinnacle of being able to put the home detox puzzle together. It's the link that so many people skip, not on purpose, but just because it's not talked about. And this contributes to the overwhelm, analysis paralysis, fear, and anxiety that often surrounds toxins. If you're thinking, yes, that's me, let me tell you, you're totally not alone. It was me, and it's most of my clients when they start working with me too. The frustration and overwhelm when navigating toxins is real, and it's not your fault. This is a new landscape, and nobody's really taught you any different, but I want to change that today. I'm going to show you how I strategize at the beginning a home detox. This can be done really any stage in your home detox, but if you're starting to feel overwhelmed, this is likely the reason why. Not having an effective strategy is typically at the root of overwhelm. Now, in order to create a strategy that works for you, you have to really understand why you want a healthy home in the first place. Now, a little biology / history lesson. Humans tend to be averse to change. And this is because back in the day, what we didn't know, like which berry was poisonous or not, could literally kill us. Our brains haven't really evolved that much. And so change can be a red flag. Our brains want to keep us safe and in a comfort zone of what we know. So if you're feeling overwhelmed and frustrated at your progress in lowering toxins in your home, it's likely because at some degree, your subconscious brain doesn't really trust that you know what you're doing and it doesn't feel safe with the changes that you want to make, even if the changes are actually being done to keep you more safe. It needs a roadmap to help you feel safe. And without that, your brain protects you with reasonable excuses. And this just makes everything so much harder. And often you might not be aware that this is happening. Now, one of my favorite quotes that I go back to again and again since starting this journey is by Dr. Maya Angelou. Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. And so I'm all about helping you know better so that you can decide what doing better looks like for you, because it's going to be different for everyone. Now, I've covered the basics around why toxins matter in various episodes, but just to make sure we're all on the same page, I want to start by clearing up some misconceptions and debunking some myths about how your home is affecting your health. There is a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding out there about how everyday products are affecting us. I try not to sugarcoat things. I like to be a realist while keeping things practical. The choices that you make about what you put on your skin, in your air, and what you eat and drink 100% matter. One of the biggest misunderstandings, though, is why and how it matters. And even if you are convinced 100% that you need to address toxins, that's why you're listening, you come here for solutions, you really need to understand the deeper level of why. And this understanding will help you make faster and more informed decisions for your family and will enable you to have better conversations with the people in your life who might not be on board quite yet. Knowing this will also help guide your subconscious because you have to truly buy into the importance of toxins in order for your brain to be fully on board with making a change. So the science behind environmental toxins is not just from fringe organizations and special interest groups. Hundreds, if not thousands, of peer-reviewed and independent studies are finding that exposures to even low levels of some chemicals, found in everything from body care to cleaners to food to drinking water to dust, are contributing to ADHD, autism, and behavioral issues, obesity, asthma, infertility, reduced IVF success. Girls are starting puberty earlier, putting them at an increased risk of depression and cancer, autoimmune disease, and more. In one of my Instagram posts, I asked why addressing toxins is important for my audience, and a naturopathic doctor responded saying that she's found that toxins are often the missing link in health issues that are not going away with other strategies. Studies in the US and Canada have found hundreds of toxic chemicals in the cord blood of newborns. The conventional medical community is speaking up as well. In 2018, the American Academy of Pediatrics warned that common food additives may pose risks to children's hormonal health and development. In 2013, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists Committee strongly recommended that healthcare providers incorporate an assessment of household and workplace toxic exposures and provide resources to their patients to support a healthy pregnancy and baby. Medical experts, including MDs, nurses, and PhDs in public health, toxicology, and environmental health, came together in what they called Project TENDER, standing for Targeting Environmental Neurodevelopmental Risks. And they issued a call to action in 2015 to reduce widespread exposures to chemicals in everyday products that interfere with fetal and children's brain development. The World Health Organization reports that rates of cancer and hormone-related illnesses are increasing faster than can be explained by genetics alone, and environmental exposures are without a doubt playing a role. This conclusion is best explained by a phrase coined by Dr. Sonia Mather. She's a medical doctor. And that is, genetics loads the gun, environment pulls the trigger. And this nicely sums up the relationship between disease, genetics, and the environment, and essentially means that even if you've got quote-unquote bad genes, setting up a healthy lifestyle and environment can affect how those genes are expressed and ultimately how sick you get, if you get sick at all. Here's the expansion of that quote. The reality is that globally we have seen a rise in the incidence of genital malformations in baby boys, reduced sperm counts in young men, increased incidence of some adverse pregnancy outcomes such as preterm birth, a rise in neurobehavioral disorders in children such as autism and other learning disabilities, early puberty amongst our girls, and increased obesity and type 2 diabetes rates. Not to mention the worldwide increase over the past 50 years of malignancies such as breast, endometrial, ovarian, prostate, testicular, and thyroid, as well as childhood brain cancer and leukemia. If one looks at this increased rate of disease incidence over the past decades, it cannot be explained by genetic factors alone. In addition, there's mounting evidence that our chemical exposures are seriously impacting fertility rates and sperm counts. And if you have not listened to episode 35 yet, it's with the authors of the book Countdown, all about this research. I highly recommend you take a listen. So the first step in being able to clear out toxins from your body is to reduce what you're putting in the first place. And that is something that we all have control over. Now, I know that this information can feel alarming and scary, and some people think that sharing it is simply fear-mongering. However, fear-mongering is making exaggerated claims simply to instill fear, and there are so many headlines out there that do this, and I think ultimately give this whole movement a bad rap. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to understand the importance of addressing toxins so that more of us will act like our lives depend on it. Because when you look at the research, they really do. Now, if I left it there, I would be fear-mongering. So I'm going to follow up these studies with real and practical solutions. But I do feel that it is important to drive home just how serious this issue is. The risks, especially to our children, simply can't be ignored anymore. So even if you understand this importance, even if you are fully on board, there are common rebuttals or myths that can confuse your drive to make change. I'm guessing you've heard at least one of these before, so I want to break them down. I've talked about them before but I want to reiterate them here because they're so easy to fall back on as maybe reasons why we don't need to prioritize this right now. And the first myth is that small amounts of these toxic chemicals aren't enough to cause harm. I have several episodes that talk about hormone disruptors in different capacity. And so this is something, if you're new to the show, you can go back and listen to learn more on the detailed science around this. But this myth largely goes back to repeating a theory from a man named Paracelsus, who in the 1500s said that an otherwise toxic substance isn't harmful below certain thresholds. Or you may have heard the phrase, the dose makes the poison. People like to say water will kill you if you drink too much of it, as quote unquote proof that toxins, like hormone disruptors, are also safe at low doses. We now know, however, that not all toxic substances behave linearly, meaning that higher doses may be more toxic than lower doses, like in the case of water. Hormone-disrupting chemicals, on the other hand, are repeatedly shown to cause harm at very low concentrations, and research using exposures that we experience on a daily basis is linking these chemicals with a myriad of health issues, from allergies to reproductive concerns to chronic illness. The other common excuse people make for not taking action on toxics is that our bodies can just get rid of the chemicals that don't belong. And yes, our bodies are designed to deal with a certain level of toxic load. However, we are being bombarded with too much too fast. Add this to our stress levels, poor sleep, poor diet, and sedentary lifestyle, and our detoxification systems just can't keep up. Your body burden of these stressors, along with genetics and other factors, all play a role in how well your body detoxifies. So relying solely on your liver and kidneys and other organs in your detoxification system isn't enough. They likely aren't working optimally, at least not in many of us. And without reducing your toxic load in the first place, it's like trying to drain a full bathtub without first turning off the tap. One study illustrates the impact that simple changes can have, and it looked at 100 teen girls in the U.S. and found a 30 to 45% reduction in urinary concentrations of phthalates, parabens, and triclosan, hormone-disrupting chemicals commonly found in personal care products. And this decrease was seen after just 3 days of switching to cosmetics that are free of these ingredients, and that's huge. But these hormone disruptors are just a few examples of toxic chemicals that are wreaking havoc on our health and found all over the place. Lowering your body burden requires you to look at all sources and figure out where you can have the biggest bang for your buck, so to speak. And this is why it's so important that you look beyond just basic body care and cleaning products, and why chipping away one by one just at those products isn't the best way to truly lower your body burden. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't teach an all or nothing approach, and you shouldn't be aiming for that for yourself either. But it's absolutely critical that you look at your home holistically and strategically so that you're focusing on areas that are impacting you most directly and so that you're making the right choices for you. The other common rebuttal I hear is, I grew up using these products and I'm fine. To me, it's like saying my great uncle smoked until he was 80 and didn't get lung cancer. The other issue here is that we've become numb to so many conditions that affect our day-to-day life, yet are still considered normal or even healthy. These include painful periods, infertility, allergies, debilitating menopause symptoms. Being healthy is far bigger than just being absent of disease. And our kids are at greater risk now than ever before. Generations of toxic buildup from DDT, and smoking effects passed down from our grandmothers, to the rise of plastics and processed foods, to chemicals that weren't in the air and water 2 generations ago. So using yourself as a single case study isn't really enough. That's why what I'm sharing is taken from a large body of evidence that environmental toxins pose a serious risk to our long-term health. If you've got other beliefs that are holding you back, I talk about more myths and misunderstandings in episode 19. That are commonly responsible for keeping people stuck in their home detox goals. In that episode, I also talk about the important consideration that focusing only on our health as individuals is a little narrow-minded. We are increasingly taking advantage of a global economy and labor force, yet we continue to ignore the impacts on the global community due to our choices. In the U.S., studies have found women of color have a higher toxic load and suffer from a higher rate of chronic illness associated with toxic chemical exposure. Farm and factory workers are at a higher risk of exposure to toxic levels of carcinogens and hormone disruptors, and they are often underprivileged and/or members of the BIPOC community. Communities near the most toxic industries are more likely to be low income and at increased risk of chronic health issues made worse by polluted air and water. Now, we aren't going to be able to solve all these problems, but it's time that we start recognizing the price others are paying for the decisions we make in our daily lives so that we can be part of the solution, which is obviously multifaceted. All right, now that you hopefully have a better understanding of what the science says and why addressing toxins is important, I hope you feel a bit more motivated to act. But as I mentioned earlier, your brain is hardwired to self-sabotage when you want to make changes like this and it doesn't really know that it's going to stay safe. Best way to take control back is to be super clear on why you're making the change in the first place. To do this, I've created my signature why statement that I work through with my membership clients before diving into any detox strategies. I walk through the specifics of how to create a powerful why statement in episode 17. But to recap, here's the format. I want to reduce toxins in my home to insert specific benefit. To do this, I need to overcome, and then you list your biggest challenges, hurdles, or roadblocks. Because I don't want to, and then you insert what happens if you don't address toxins now. Here's mine when I first started to give this some context for you. I want to reduce toxins in my home to help prevent and avoid my previous health issues from returning, to help increase my children's ability to thrive in life and to set them up with healthier habits as they grow up. To do this, I need to understand what to focus on and learn how to make decisions faster and without letting regret for what I can't change pull me backwards. Because if my kids develop health issues down the line, I don't want to look back and feel like I should have done more. No more mom guilt. So that's just mine. Again, that three-part statement is critical to include each element because you can then go back to why it's important to you. It needs to go deeper than just to be healthy. You can identify when you're starting to get sucked back into your roadblocks, name them so that you can move around them, and a reminder as to why this is a priority for you right now. So I would love to hear your why statement. Take some time and write it out and then send me a DM over on Instagram. I'm at Emma_Green@home so I can help you craft one that will help you avoid overwhelm as you work through your home detox. Okay, so this first part of the episode provides you with the initial pieces of a successful foundation for your home detox. We chatted about why your brain is hardwired to self-sabotage, the research around toxins, common misconceptions, why addressing toxins is important and so much bigger than you, and then capped it off with the why statement. These all come together to help you understand the why in developing a home detox, why toxins matter so that you can feel more confident in your mission to create a healthier home. Next, let's discuss what to focus on when you're tackling toxins in a way that's focused on your why and without overwhelm. Now, the last thing I want you to think is that you have to live in a bubble to keep your family safe. But just thinking about all the possible sources of toxins can be incredibly overwhelming and anxiety-inducing. Instead, I want to help you move forward in the best way possible by focusing on what matters most to you. We cannot avoid all toxic chemicals. They are literally everywhere. But there's a big difference between trying to avoid all toxins and only focusing on a couple easy targets. The goal should be to lower your overall body burden so that your body can better cope with what you cannot control. And sometimes what you can't control is because it's outside your home and completely under someone else's jurisdiction. Other times what you can't control is technically in your control, but not feasible. For example, you're not going to renovate or redecorate on a whim and you have time and budget constraints. When people start working with me, I often see that they're focusing on everything in their home that they aren't actually going to change instead of what they can. It gets them stuck in a cycle of inaction, thinking it's too hard and ultimately making very little progress. That's the brain going into that self-sabotage, thinking it's protecting you. So if you want to help your brain push through that kind of natural anti-change state, you've got to show it that you know what you're doing and that you have a plan. Getting clear on your why, like we did in the first part of this episode, is the start. Next is being clear about what to focus on so you can make a plan that makes sense for you. To help you stay focused on what matters most, you have to apply what I call the four focus factors. The first one is your why. This is the basis, which is why I talked about it separately. Second is your exposures. Everyone has a different starting point. What you're currently exposed to at home plays a role in what you're going to tackle first. Also, you may have different workplace exposures or more exposures beyond your control, depending on where you live. This will impact how much you change in your own home and how quickly. Number three is the risk factors, and this considers things that will dictate where you start and what your priorities are ongoing. For example, do you have young children? Are you planning on getting or you're already pregnant? Do you struggle with allergies? Do you have existing health symptoms? Do you have a family history? Remember from earlier, genetic loads the gun, environment pulls the trigger, so this can be important. And finally, your lifestyle. For change to be sustainable, it needs to fit with your lifestyle. Yes, this will probably change over time as you adopt a more non-toxic home, but there are some things that might be easy for one person and impossible for you based on your schedule limitations, what's available where you live, your budget, how far you're willing to go, etc. Recognizing your lifestyle and honoring it and not having it work against you is really key. So let's use an example of how you would walk through these four focus factors. Now, you won't necessarily go through this exercise for every little question or goal you have, but I want you to see how they impact your overall strategy and how, without getting clear on your focus factors, you can end up wasting a lot of time on stuff that actually doesn't matter much when it comes to lowering your toxic load. So let's say you're trying to find an SLS-free soap or toothpaste or shampoo or something. You've heard it's an ingredient to avoid. And while you've looked for other ingredients on your product labels, this one is new to you. So four focus factors. Your why is your kids' health. You have a more detailed three-part why statement, as I discussed earlier, but we'll keep it simple at kids' health. Your exposures, you use mostly green personal care products. Your other exposures at home include conventional cleaners. You haven't really thought about air quality too much. You filter your water with a Brita filter. And you haven't thought about what you eat and drink beyond typical nutrition stuff. Generally, healthy eater, but not much else thought goes into it. In terms of risk factors, you don't have allergy or skin sensitivity. You do have children and lifestyle. You're busy and have limited time to make changes, but it's important that you're making the best changes for your family. Okay, so those are the four hypothetical focus factors for this SLS scenario. And this is a very common scenario. Quite frankly, SLS in otherwise clean skincare is the last thing that this hypothetical person should be focusing on. Why? Well, when you look at the hierarchy of things, SLS in a toothpaste would be quite low in this example. Yes, it can cause irritation in some people, but if you aren't struggling with cankers or other symptoms of sensitivity, looking at things like filtering your water with a higher quality filter than a Brita pitcher, switching to non-toxic cleaners, and improving your indoor air quality are three things that right away should take priority over nitpicking SLS out of an otherwise clean product. So the next time that you start worrying about a new ingredient or product, think of these four focus factors to help you decide if it's actually important or if you can move on to something that will have a greater impact so that you are spending your energy on things that matter the most. Now, understanding what to focus on is all well and good. There are two challenges I hear from most people about switching to healthy products. It's that they don't work and they're expensive. In some cases, these might be very accurate reasons why you can't make a specific change. However, they are also easy excuses for the brain to use as a way of keeping you safe, stopping you from making a change because, as I said earlier, our brains can see change as a threat, an unknown that could be harmful. The good news is overcoming these obstacles is doable with a mindset shift and some strategy. So let's break down each of them. The first shift you need to make is reconsidering what it means for a product to work. a lot of conventional products use ingredients that make it seem like they're doing their job, but natural products are actually going to be doing it better. It's why you see products with phrases like for healthier looking skin. Healthier looking does not equal healthy. For example, a common ingredient in skincare and makeup is silicone. But creams with silicones don't actually moisturize your skin. It just sits on top and it makes your skin feel smoother and more hydrated. Similarly, heavily scented cleaners don't mean your house is cleaner. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They're filling your home with indoor air pollutants like VOCs that are allergens, respiratory irritants, and sometimes carcinogenic. Natural fragrance doesn't use synthetic chemicals to make the smell last longer, which makes a lot of people think that they're no longer working. The truth is, marketing around conventional products has changed the way that we define performance. It's time to take a step back and choose products that actually do what you want them to do instead of throwing money away on products that end up kind of just covering up the problem, like synthetic fragrance and silicones. You need to decide if your subconscious mind that does totally get hooked in by the marketing because of feelings evoked by certain smells, or your logical mind that knows you want to make and need to make new, healthier choices. Now, if you had asked me when I first got started over 15 years ago now, if green products worked, I wouldn't be so certain in my answer, because back then, a lot of them legitimately did not work. But they've come a long way, and you can have a clean home, beautiful skin, cook great meals, have beautiful decor, all without toxins, or at least with less of them. You just have to decide that you're ready to believe that performance isn't just what marketers have been telling us. A few reminders that I used to give myself: a cleaning product doesn't have to disinfect to be clean. Your body should be allowed to sweat, and there is a natural deodorant out there for you. That mantra was huge for me in the early days. Your dry hair may not actually be the shampoo not doing its job. It could be your water, or it could be the shampoo, in which case, go as clean as you can. Your laundry does not have to smell like fake flowers to be clean. You get the idea. Sometimes these little mantras can help if you find yourself getting hung up on a performance ideal. And if you leave this episode with nothing else, I want it to be this. Stop comparing non-toxic products to the other stuff. The reality is, you don't want a product that works just like one that contains toxic ingredients. Those products look, feel, and smell the way they do because they contain hormone disruptors, carcinogens, allergens, etc. You want a product that works and is not contributing to your toxic load. So let's separate those two ideas, okay? The second hurdle is all about money. And we generally have pretty messed up money mindsets ingrained in us from early on. And this topic may be triggering for you. That's okay. I want you just to sit with the feelings and reactions and thoughts without judgment or reaction for now. I am sharing this with zero judgment or shame. But I want you to reconsider the purchases you make without giving them much thought. Or maybe you hesitate, but you drop your credit card because on some level, it is still worth it to you. Usually, we're willing to spend on something that will make our life easier, better, more enjoyable. But the truth is, we're most likely to spend money on instant gratification than to invest prevention for our health. Again, it's not really our fault. Our brain likes that hit of dopamine that it gets from an instant reward. Dopamine makes us feel happy, so we keep looking for quick wins, and it's harder to reason with ourselves that long-term investments are worth it. So if you're convinced that green and healthy products are too expensive, that will be your brain's easiest way to sabotage your success. How many times have you said, it's not in my budget? It very well may not be in your budget, and that's totally legitimate and fine. But some questions to consider to find out if that is a legitimate excuse for you or not. Or I shouldn't say excuse. If it's legitimate, it's a reason. And again, I ask these with zero judgment, and you should too, but just get curious for a moment. Do you actually have a budget set aside for this? Have you mapped out your expenses and decided what's important and what's not? And do you never deviate from it for the month or however you set it up? For some of you, this very well might be a reality. For others, the budget is an imaginary reason the brain uses for not making change. When something really matters, or when we want that instant gratification dopamine hit, often we can find the money. So to be successful in your home detox goals, you need to flip the script on your money mindset. For example, many products that are natural, healthy, and well-made the sticker price is undoubtedly higher than their conventional counterpart. The thing is, conventional brands are priced low, often because they're made with cheap synthetic ingredients and they're designed to make you buy more of them. This applies to everything from housewares that aren't durable to body care products where the primary ingredient is water. If you have the ability to and you can invest in good quality ingredients up front, yes, you might be paying more initially, but you'll save a lot more over the long term because they last longer. So while you may think you're getting a deal, if you add up the cost over months or a year for many products, the green ones will outperform conventional ones. Not to mention the cost of long-term health effects that are strongly linked with our daily exposures, as I talked about earlier. The other trap we get in is short-term thinking. Conventional, budget-friendly brands keep coming up with more and more products to sell you, which makes it seem like you need 25 different cleaners and 4 different creams for your face, for example. This is more expensive than sticking with multi-purpose, well-made products, but we don't notice that so much with each individual purchase because the costs are so low. You can easily get caught up in the product side when detoxing your home too, but the first step should actually be to pare down and build habits. And this can be one of the ways that you can either flat out save money or divert some of your budget from things that you don't need to be spending money on into things that maybe are going to cost more and are going to get you closer to your goals. When I work with my clients in my membership, the Healthy Home Collective, I bring a combination of product and habit-based strategies into the plan because reducing toxins isn't just about products. It's a lifestyle. And to be most successful, it needs to fit with your daily routine rather than be some constant. I also see a lot of people getting into the trap of seeing one luxury brand or thinking they need to spend hundreds of dollars on essential oils or some magic pill type solution to create a non-toxic home, and assuming those are the only or the best options. There are so many ways you can lower toxins, from luxury to budget and everything in between. Or learning about a new toxin and thinking they have to immediately throw it and replace a whole kitchen worth of stuff, but without going through those 4 focus factors I spoke about earlier, this isn't the best way to go about doing it. I'm a big proponent of making changes that matter, not just that feels good. Again, dopamine can be a big trap and a money waster when it comes to detoxing your home. For example, you learn that Teflon is terrible and you want to just chuck all your pans and replace them. Listen, if they're not scratched, it may not be a priority for you. You can probably get by not throwing all of it out and investing seriously in a whole new kitchen's worth of cookware. If you've got a memory foam mattress and you learn that that maybe isn't something that you would buy again, if you're not getting headaches or struggling with sleep or dealing with some other symptoms, you can probably focus on other things without stressing about the mattress and have a bigger impact on your immediate health and allow you to plan for a replacement down the line. Those are just a couple examples that I see people getting stuck in that diverts their money, time, and attention and can make it feel like everything is too expensive and overwhelming. Going back to what we talked about in the beginning of this episode, you have to get clear on what your goals and needs really are. I guarantee you there's a way to fit healthy home products and strategies into your budget, your real budget, not the one your brain makes up on the fly to keep you safe while sabotaging your goals. So yes, we all need to be responsible with our money, and not everyone will have access to the products or resources to prioritize toxins all the time. But many of us have more agency than we think we do. So I urge you to think critically and strategically about your money spending patterns. Some healthy home strategies will 100% be an investment, but there are also lots of free and money-saving strategies too. Either way, time and money are the easiest ways out of making changes. So the next time you let them stop you, consider the idea that in defaulting to the belief that you don't have time or money, means you're really saying that investing in your family's health now and for the future isn't important. I do not say that in a shaming way at all. You may have different priorities. You may have other health needs and toxins aren't a critical component for you at this time. That is okay. Priorities, life, and circumstances change all the time. And by no means do I expect everyone to be 100% focused on toxins 100% of the time. I'm certainly not. It's not sustainable, nor is it helpful for overall health and well-being. But If we're going to start making conscious decisions, we have to start being more aware of the trade-offs and what we're really choosing. I know this conversation can be really loaded and it can bring up a lot of feelings, thoughts, and reactions. If it is, I encourage you to sit with them. We live in a very reactive world and it's easy to get our backs up. So take a moment to pause, breathe, and process what's coming up for you. Nobody can tell you what's right or wrong in how you want to live your life. Only you can decide that. I'm here to help you make more informed choices around toxins, whether it's to act or to confidently decide that they aren't important to you right now. Zero judgment, zero shame. I'm here to share information and guidance along your own personal journey. I hope you see how truly lowering your toxic load is all about strategy first, tactics second. This episode was an overview of the strategy that I teach my clients in my membership, the Healthy Home Collective, before diving into the tactics like product recommendations, strategy checklists, and action plans. So if you're looking for more support on the tactical side of lowering toxins in your home, the collective might just be the answer. It's my membership that walks you through my signature process to create a healthier home for a healthier family, confidently and practically, with monthly action plans, live Q&A coaching sessions, and on-demand resources like the Green at Home product database, shopping guides, and guest expert trainings. The collective provides the accountability and guidance you need to successfully lower toxins in your home and body while keeping your sanity in check. You can learn more at greenathome.ca/collective. I hope you found this episode helpful as you start planning your next steps in your home detox. And do hit me up on Instagram. Like I said, share your why statement with me. I would love to see it and offer feedback to help make it more impactful for you. And if you have any questions about working with me in the collective or in any other way, don't hesitate to reach out. Bye for now. I do hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to continue the conversation, I'd love to connect with you over in my free Facebook group. It's a great place to get feedback from over 4,000 super supportive members and where I share bonus trainings and content to help make your healthy home journey easier. Just type Green Product Forum in the search bar in Facebook or head into the show notes where you'll find all the places you can find me online. Until next time, have a great day.